Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Grootniblink, and I will be your host. I do apologize. Normally, I get this out on Sunday evenings at the latest, but I have been sick, and yesterday when I was going to record this, I actually had a migraine. At the end of all of my sickness, you can probably still hear a little bit of it in my voice here, but I'm going to plow through this and get through a show for you guys here. I'm recording this here on Monday night. Today we're taking a brief break from the strategy series. I'm going to just talk to you about some players whose numbers tell me they could be in for a bit of positive regression, so they're actually underperforming what we would expect from them. But before we get started, I am going to ask that if you've been listening to this podcast and getting any sort of value from it, the best way you can support is by leaving a rating and review. Spotify has actually recently introduced a rating system for podcasts. You can assign up to 5 stars by clicking on the little box under the podcast artwork on the podcast Spotify page. And since this is a new feature on Spotify, you guys could actually shoot me up to the top of the fantasy hockey charts with a bunch of 5-star ratings. So again, if you're getting something of value out of these podcasts, please do drop a rating. It would help a lot. All right, enough with the sell job. Let's dig into these players. So there's going to be 3 categories that I'm going to be talking about for positive regression. I kind of did a companion article to this last week talking about negative regression, players who were performing above what we would expect based on these 3 categories or statistics. So today I'm going to talk about individual points percentage, IPP. I'm going to be talking about shooting percentage, and I'm also going to be talking about on-ice shooting percentage. So those are the 3 categories that I'll kind of divide this episode up by. The first one we're going to talk about is IPP. So individual points percentage, basically it just shows what percentage of points a player is getting from all the goals that were scored while they were on the ice. So you know, if they were on the ice for 10 goals scored and they had 5 points, that would be a 50% IPP. And the first player I want to talk about is Sam Bennett. So I'm just going to give you a bunch of stats, throw them out real quick. In 26 games played this year, Sam Bennett has 11 goals, 6 assists, 17 points. He's thrown 59 hits with 10 blocks. He's averaging 18 and a half minutes of ice per game. But the IPP really sticks out here at just 44.7%. For a player of Bennett's caliber, we'd expect that number to be a fair bit higher. You could say that just by the type of player he is, that it might be a little lower than an average player. I don't know how much I'd weight that argument, but definitely it should be significantly higher than 44.7%. Should be probably at least 60%, if not higher than that. So that's a significant percentage, right? He should be factoring in on 15% more of the goals that are being scored. And it's not like Bennett hasn't been useful. Like 17 points with 11 goals in 26 games, when he's been playing, he's been really good. Along with those hits, if you're in a banger league, that's a really, really good player already. And to think that there could be even more there is really exciting. The shooting percentage looks pretty sustainable, just 11.2%, nothing crazy there. On-ice shooting percentage, 11.9%. That's on the high side, but given that he's skating with Jonathan Huberdeau at even strength and he's on the Panthers' electric power play 1 unit, like, there's nothing really to write home about with that 11.9% on-ice shooting percentage number. And I'm just going to throw out some ranks at you in terms of his kind of rate stats. So his shots per 60 at 12.22, he ranks 9th in the entire NHL. And given that he's skating 18 and a half minutes a game, that's a healthy number. So being able to sustain that kind of shot rate over those 18 and a half minutes means he's putting a lot of shots on goal. He's really helping that category for you. The individual scoring chances for per 60, which is another metric I look at a lot to determine if a player can really put up goals. He's ranks 9th in the NHL in that, 13.09 individual scoring chances for per 60. So again, really high number there. On ice scoring chances for per 60, 38.03, which ranks 35th. So Bennett is really high up there in a lot of key metrics that I like to look at. And so if that IPP does come up the way I think it should, then you're definitely looking at even more of a ceiling for Bennett. And he's been a very solid fantasy asset already. So if you can make a deal for Bennett, now he's been suspended for 3 games, so this might actually be a great time to go out and get Bennett, especially if you're a contending team, like one of the top 2 teams in your league, let's say, and you can afford to take on Bennett while he's suspended and just kind of hold him through this. If you can afford to do that, then going to get Bennett right now might be a really, really good play for you, because the production in terms of chance generation is just elite out of Bennett right now. So definitely a good one there. The second player I want to talk about would be Ili Tolvanen. Tolvanen was kind of a hot topic last year. He kind of broke out in a big way for the Predators on their power play unit, did a lot of good things, then kind of tailed off. And so far this year, 33 games played, just 5 goals, 7 assists for 12 points, 59 hits there, so he is a pretty big hitter, just 1350 of average ice time though, and he's definitely been overshadowed in Nashville with Forsberg and Duchesne and Granlund all doing their thing there. But I want to say that under the hood, the numbers actually look pretty good for Tolvanen. The 40% IPP is the positive regression mark. Again, you would expect this to be, you know, even for a player kind of on the back end of a roster the way Tolvanen has been used this year, you would expect that to be 55 to 60%. So that's like 1/3 extra production that he should have already. So that would take him up to, you know, 18 points in 33 games, which looks a little better for a young player. The shots per 60 are impressive. He ranks 27th in the league in shots per 60. The shooting percentage is really low here, 6.1%. So definitely some room to grow for him there. And the on-ice shooting percentage looks about in line what you'd expect. So nothing really to see there. And obviously, because he's been playing down the lineup, he's not going to really pop on the on-ice metrics. So I'm not really looking for anything too spectacular there out of him. But really, Tolvanen, basically what I'm saying, based on these stats, Tolvanen is fine. If you have him in a dynasty or a deep keeper or something like that, and you're wondering if Tolvanen, you should be moving on from him, I would say no. I think there's more to give here. And if Nashville ever really had kind of a more potent second line, if they were able to get some more scoring power in there, then I think Tolvanen could take another step. It's just that he seems to be a little bit blocked, and you never know, like Nashville could move on from some players. You never know what the situation's going to be next year. So definitely I think Tolvanen is worth hanging on to in your dynasties or your deep keepers. And the next guy is Rickard Rakell. I've always been a pretty big fan of Rakell. So far this season, 25 games played, 8 goals, 5 assists for just 13 points, 18 hits, 21 blocks in 18 minutes and 32 seconds of average time on ice. And the IPP, again, sticking out to me here, 44.8%. Rakell is a guy who's lived 64% to 74% throughout his career. So you got to think that he's got pretty much another third on top of this that he could be giving us. So again, you go from 13 points up to like 18, 19, even 20 points maybe, depending on where in that range you fall. So you could be looking at a significant uptick in production from Rakell to this point. And I think that's somewhat reasonable given that he's got Zegras there now. He's been playing on that line with Zegras, and that's probably the best player he's played with in quite some time in Anaheim. So I'm definitely fairly bullish on Rakell for the rest of the season. He's shooting 11%, which is probably about where you'd expect him to be, quite honestly. 10.3% on ice shooting percentage, so the numbers are kind of in line. It's just that he seems to be missing out on a bunch of assists for no apparent reason. So you would expect that that should bounce back a little bit, and Rakell should be able to get in on a little bit more in the back half of the season here. Next guy is Tyler Seguin. Seguin has shown a little bit, or was showing, I guess you could say, leading up to the Christmas break here. He was showing a little bit more than the early going where he was just a complete dumpster fire. So on the season, 29 games played, 8 goals, just 4 assists, 30 hits, 10 blocks, 17 minutes, 25 seconds average time on ice. IPP here, again, 44.4%. That's really low. even if you think Sagan has taken a significant step back in just overall ability, you got to admit that that's a very low number for basically anybody. So I do think there's more to give in terms of that IPP. The problem with Sagan is that his line has clearly been supplanted by the Hintz line. Hintz, Robertson, and Pavelski has been the go-to number one line in Dallas for a bit of time now, and I don't see that changing because those are very good players, and they're playing very well together. So Sagan is kind of a bit of an odd man out in terms of average time on ice, so I don't really see that he'll get a significant uptick in time on ice. So he'll have to do his work at that 17 and a half minutes or maybe even a little lower for the rest of the season. But the fact that this IPP is just so low tells me that he should definitely, at the very least, have a bunch more assists. Shooting percentage is 10.8%, which is about where you'd expect it to be. It's not so far in either direction that I'm going to point it out for regression reasons. 9.3% on-ice shooting percentage, which you could say is a titch low. So I think Sagan has more to give. Do I think that he's going to suddenly go back to being, you know, the 70-plus point player he was? No, I don't think that ceiling's there anymore, but I do think that he can still be a valuable kind of more of the bottom of your roster type of player. So I'm not really looking to drop Sagan. If you can trade him for someone you just picked up on, trade for him, I should say, for someone you just picked up on waivers and you don't want anymore, then I'd definitely be willing to do a deal like that. So just be aware that Sagan does have more to give than this 12 points in 29 games that he's put up so far. Next guy here is Nathan MacKinnon. We're looking at a 4.2% shooting percentage for Nathan MacKinnon, which is just atrociously low. The funny part here is that in 18 games, he's got 27 points, just 3 goals, but 24 assists. So he's kind of killing it on points overall, but just no goals are going in, I guess. He's converting them all to assists. 77% IPP. The on-ice shooting percentage is actually pretty high at 13.9%. You'd expect it to be high for MacKinnon, a player of MacKinnon's caliber and playing on such a great team like Colorado, but 13.9% is definitely high. I do expect some regression back from that. But MacKinnon should score more goals. He definitely should be converting more of these assists into goals moving forward. So if you're worried that if the assists go away that he'll suddenly not be the elite player that he is, then I'm here to quell those worries for you. He's definitely just experiencing some bad shooting luck. He ranks 28th in the league in shots per 60 while skating 21 minutes and 41 seconds a night. So definitely still the MacKinnon of old, just some weird variance kind of 18 games into his season here. The next one will be Kevin Fiala. Anyone who's been in my Discord or is part of my Patreon knows that I am a big fan of Fiala. He's got 7 goals, 14 assists for 21 points in 31 games this year, so definitely not terrible, but we were kind of hoping for more from Fiala, skating 17 minutes, 23 seconds per night so far. 67.7% IPP, actually a little lower than Fiala's trended over the last few years, so that could come up a little bit, but the 6.8% shooting percentage is just very low. That should definitely be up higher. And Fiala is just a shot monster, right? 11.46 shots per 60. That ranks 17th in the NHL, 14th in individual Corsi 4 per 60, 14th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60, 8.9% on-ice shooting percentage, which is a little bit on the low side. He's just up there in all these metrics. Even on-ice scoring chances 4 per 60, despite the fact that he's not been playing on that top line, that Kaprizov-Hartman line, he still ranks 84th in the NHL in scoring chances 4 per 60, on-ice scoring chances 4 per 60. So he's definitely still up there. I do think he's a dynamic player. He's got all the talent in the world. He is now on Minnesota's Power Play 1 unit with Joel Eriksson Ek out for the time being. So right now is a really good time to go out and get Kevin Fiala if anyone's a little bit off of him. I'd definitely be looking to do that. I've always been looking to buy Kevin Fiala. Who am I kidding? But now is an especially good time to go get him, I would say. Next one here is Travis Konecny. Konecny has also had some weird goals versus assist variance, I guess you could say. 32 games, 5 goals, 14 assists for 19 points on the season. Has thrown 45 hits as well, so he does contribute in that area, skating 17 minutes, 7 seconds per night. 63% IPP, but the 5.8% shooting percentage is what we really want to look at. And Konechny has actually kind of upped all his individual shot rates, his chance four rates, I should say his Corsi four rate, is on ice rates as well, look pretty good. I'm definitely interested in Konechny and kind of this newfound shooting he's been doing. There's just something there that I'm interested in. So that 5.8% shooting percentage definitely should come up. And I think that the 19 points in 32 games, that could get bumped up if he were to put a few more goals in the net. So, you know, he could be up to more like a 25 points in 32 games, could be more on that pace. And he should be really a 65-point player in my mind. That's where he should end up. And that's where I'd be willing to price him at if I'm looking to acquire him. And I want to kind of group a couple of guys here together at the bottom. These aren't players that you're going to be looking to pick up in your redraft leagues unless they're insanely deep. But I want to bring your attention to Noah Gregor and Julian Gauthier. So Noah Gregor, 17 games played so far, just 1 goal, 5 assists, 6 points, 36 hits in those 17 games. So definitely throwing the body around, 14 blocks, averaging 15.27 per game in terms of ice time. So he's shooting just 2.3%, which is obviously an extremely low number. Like, that should be probably 5 times that number for him. So definitely some room to give there. What I'm really interested in with Gregor is he's definitely shooting, putting lots of pucks towards the net. So his 10.05 shots per 60 ranks 51st in the NHL. He's got an 18.04 individual Corsi 4 per 60, which ranks 34th. 10.05 individual scoring chances 4 per 60, which ranks 68th. He hits that, I kind of look for this 10.0 individual scoring chances 4 per 60 number. If a player hits that 10.0 number, that's kind of a threshold I like to look at. If they hit that number, I'm definitely willing to take a second look at them. So there's definitely some things here, just a 50% IPP so far, so he's got some room there as well. I don't think that he's going to really, you know, blow the socks off anybody this year in San Jose, but definitely a player to keep your eye on, maybe a sneaky pickup. Maybe you can throw him into a trade in your dynasty leagues and pick him up there, because I think there's something there. He's got something to give. And if not, like, the cost to acquire him will be so low that it really didn't bother you anyway. And Julian Gauthier, kind of a similar story here. 2 goals, 3 assists for 5 points in 24 games, 49 hits, so again, about 2 hits per game there, 7 blocks, averaging just 10 minutes, 48 seconds of ice time per night. So he's definitely not been getting even close to the same amount of ice time as Gregor. So the fact that he's been able to put up 49 hits in 24 games with just that amount of ice time is pretty impressive. Similar story here. So 10.17 shots per 60, that ranks 46th in the league. 12.25 individual scoring chances for per 60, which ranks 15th. So really good at finding scoring chances for himself. And just a 4.6 shooting percentage. So definitely should have some luck there. Again, actually the exact same IPP, 50% as Gregor. So Julian Gauthier is another player that I'm definitely looking at. I don't think he's going to be relevant, probably. Seems like Dryden Hunt got an opportunity on the Panarin line over him. For whatever reason, it doesn't seem like he's that guy that the Rangers are going to go to anytime soon. But definitely a guy that I think is worth stashing. He gives you that banger's value. And who knows, these numbers are quite good. Like, they're quite impressive. That 12.25 individual scoring chances 4 per 60 number is really, really good. So definitely not something that you just kind of luck into. So there's something there with Gauthier. I don't know if he'll ever be used in this way where he could be really relevant, at least not in with the Rangers, but again, the kind of guy you could throw into a trade in Dynasty and probably stash him, and maybe he pops, maybe he doesn't, but if he does pop, like, the underlying numbers are there, he could be very valuable for you. And now kind of moving on to the on-ice shooting percentage portion of the program, I've got David Pastrnak here. Pastrnak has had just a weird, weird season. 28 games played, 8 goals, 13 assists for 21 points, 21 hits, 5 blocks, averaging 19 minutes, 29 seconds of ice per night. Basically, everything looks down for Pastrnak. I chose on-ice shooting percentage, but I could have chosen IPP or I could have chosen shooting percentage. So IPP is 53.9%, which is preposterously low for a player of Pastrnak's caliber. The shooting percentage is 6.7%. Again, preposterously low. On-ice shooting percentage, 8.9%. You'd figure it should be like 12% given that he's playing on the perfection line in Boston and on that top power play unit. Pastrnak is just at the top of the league in every metric you can think of. Shots per 60 ranks third in the league, despite skating, 19 and a half minutes a night. That's really a lot of ice time for a forward, and he's still putting up those shots. So just elite shots. 24.4 individual Corsi 4 per 60, that ranks fourth. 10.99 individual scoring chances for, that ranks 40th. In terms of on-ice numbers, the Corsi 4 is 80.13, which ranks third in the entire league. On-ice scoring chances 4 per 60, 39.02, which ranks 21st in the league. So really everything here is just telling you that Pastrnak is still elite. He's still that first-round player that you probably drafted this year. He's just had some extremely poor variance across the board. Definitely a buy low candidate if you can find anybody that's worried about this being a long-term thing with him. I don't know if you can or not. Most people, I think, are content to hang on to their Pastrnak shares. But if you can find him anywhere for cheaper than he should be, then definitely you should get him, because all the metrics say that he's exactly the player he was before, if not even performing a little better this year in some metrics. So nothing but upward signs for Pastrnak here. Another player here that kind of fits into this category where the on-ice shooting percentage is a little bit low is Daniel Sprong. This is kind of an interesting one. He's kind of been up and down the Washington Capitals lineup. He's gotten some chances on the Ovechkin line here and there. On the season, 28 games played, 5 goals, 5 assists, 10 points, 22 hits, 9 blocks, averaging 13 minutes, 11 seconds of ice per night. So he's definitely been up and down the lineup with that time on ice number. But kind of similar to Pastrnak, kind of across the board, he's got some low numbers that you wouldn't really expect. 58.8% IPP, that's probably a little bit low. 7.6% shooting percentage, again, probably a little bit low. 7.8% on-ice shooting percentage, which is, again, probably pretty low, especially since he's seen some time with Ovechkin, who comes with a huge on-ice shooting percentage just by virtue of his greatness. So what's really interesting about Sprong is, again, the shot generation. 10.72 shots per 60, good for 29th in the league. Also 10.88 individual scoring chances for per 60, which is 43rd in the league. So definitely great individual numbers from Sprong. I wonder if he can latch on even with the Backstrom line, if they're going to keep that Kuznetsov-Ovechkin line, keep him off that line. If he can latch on with the Backstrom line, maybe, if he could do some good work with an elite passer like Backstrom still is. So definitely something there. Sprong could be, he's definitely kind of a streamer value on weeks where Washington has a good schedule. But if he can latch onto that Backstrom line, he could have season-long value. So definitely something to watch there if he can find that deployment and kind of solidify himself a little bit higher up in the lineup. The next player will be Blake Coleman. Coleman has had some really poor variance himself. Again, I could have chosen shooting percentage here. I could have chosen on-ice shooting percentage, which is where I slotted him in here, but definitely had some poor variance going against him. 29 games played, just 4 goals, 4 assists for 8 points, 64 hits. He brings a ton of hits, 22 blocks, so he does that too. 15 minutes, 16 seconds average ice time, which is kind of just okay. But the 11.38 shots per 60, like, that's 19th in the league as a rate. And the on-ice shooting percentage, that's the category we put him in here, just 6.8%. his own personal shooting percentage, 4.8%, IPP 50%. So definitely all the regression metrics going against Coleman in the early going. Part of this, I think, is due to deployment. You know, it's kind of top line or bust in Calgary, so there's not a lot you can do if you're just playing, you know, with the Lucic's of the world. Not exactly an offensive dynamo, that guy. So there is something to be said for the fact that he might not have that ceiling, but you can definitely see that it's not really his fault, right? He's doing his part. He's putting the shots on goal. So at worst, you're going to get kind of a peripherals monster out of this guy, right? He hits, he blocks, he shoots, he does all that stuff for you, and then you should be able to expect some better results in the goals and assists categories here moving forward. So something to watch for there. Another guy I want to bring up, again, not really someone that you're going to be looking at for this year, but a guy I kind of want to put an early stamp on that I'm going to be interested to see what happens, Connor McMichael. So 32 games played, 4 goals, 5 assists, 9 points, 24 hits, 11 blocks. He's averaging 10 minutes, 59 seconds. In the last game he played, I think it was like 6 minutes, 18 seconds or something ridiculous like that. Right now he's just being, I don't know, punished, I guess, on the fourth line. But just a 6.5% on-ice shooting percentage, 6.7% shooting percentage for himself, 64% IPP, so he is factoring in when goals are being scored on the ice. So that's something. But again, he's putting up shots, 10.24 shots per 60. That's 44th in the NHL, 10.92 individual scoring chances for per 60, which is 42nd. You know, for a rookie who's really not gotten a lot of chances to play up the lineup in Washington, he's been on the third or fourth line pretty much the entire season and really not had much in the way of line mates to work with. So for him to be putting up these rate stats, as a rookie is actually quite impressive. So definitely someone, you know, he kind of reminds me of Oliver Wahlstrom, who has big on, you know, in this off season coming into this season. He's kind of doing some of those same things with that individual scoring chances for per 60 number, especially popping. So definitely someone you can kind of put into that Wahlstrom tier. He might just get buried kind of like Wahlstrom did. So you have to always kind of worry about that with some of these coaches. They might not see it the same way we do when looking at the numbers here. But McMichael is definitely on his way to being a very productive NHLer. So I wouldn't worry too much about the 9 points in 32 games to this point. And speaking of Wahlstrom, this is kind of outside of the format of the episode, I guess you could say. But I do want to just bring up a few guys who I think are really interesting for various reasons. So I'm going to do that here, just kind of tag it at the end here. Oliver Wahlstrom, 26 games played, 8 goals, 7 assists, 15 points, 37 hits. So he does that. 8 blocks for you, averaging just 13 minutes, 13 seconds of ice time per game. He's doing pretty much exactly what had me so excited about him this offseason. 11.34 shots per 60, that ranks 21st in the NHL. He ranks 8th in the NHL with a 22.16 individual Corsi for, 34th in the NHL with an 11.17 individual scoring chances for per 60 number. Things kind of look in line for him in terms of, you know, shooting percentage, on-ice shooting percentage, IPP, all that kind of lines up. It's really just about the opportunity with Wahlstrom. If he was given the opportunity to play, you know, big minutes on the Barzal line and on power play one, I have full confidence that he'd be putting up probably a 65-point pace. So it's really just whether he will ever get that opportunity. I have no doubt that he would make good on it if he ever did. So kind of one you just have to kind of sit on and watch, but definitely a player with a bright future that I'm trying to acquire in all my dynasty leagues. Another player with a bright future is Tage Thompson. I've been on this guy for a long time. I made a bold prediction that he would lead the Sabres in scoring this season back before the season began, and he's well on his way to doing that. So we'll see where it ends up from here, but he's got 12 goals, 10 assists for 22 points in 33 games on the season, averaging 17 minutes, 29 seconds per night. He's thrown 23 hits with 10 blocks along the way. 10.39 shots per 60, ranks 36th in the NHL. 9.66 individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, down at 87th. But again, a really nice individual Corsi 4 per 60 number, 19.74, which is good for 16th in the NHL. So definitely some stuff to like here with Thompson. Nothing really in terms of the regression numbers. They're all about where you'd expect them to be, so I don't see this pace as really anything that'll change in the near future. He has been getting a little more minutes than that 17.29. He's kind of crept up more into that 19 to 20 range in recent games, so if he can sustain that for the whole season, he'll get a little more production just by virtue of being on the ice more. But definitely, to this point, the numbers that he's putting up look sustainable. I'm a big Tage Thompson fan, and if Buffalo, you know, gets better as a team and he gets even a little bit better as a player, I definitely think that Tage Thompson's got more to give than just even this 22-point pace in future seasons, or 22 points in the 33 games pace for future seasons. And I want to talk about Evan Rodriguez here for a second. Rodriguez has really come out of nowhere this season. 31 games played, 13 goals, 13 assists, 26 points, 31 hits, 13 blocks, 17 minutes, 27 seconds average time on ice. Really impressive stuff. And like, just across the board, he is crushing it in every advanced stat that I like to look at. Really impressive stuff. The shots per 60, 11.64, that's 15th in the NHL. You know, the individual Corsi 4, 21st in the NHL. Individual scoring chances 4 per 60, 45th in the NHL. On ice numbers, just elite. Like, on ice, his Corsi 4 per 60 is 10th in the NHL. His scoring chances 4 per 60 is 10th in the NHL. This is just really good stuff. And consider that this isn't just the Crosby effect too, right? Crosby, I think, has only played 18 games, so almost half of Rodriguez's season has come without the benefit of Crosby being there. So it's definitely not just something that he's doing because of Crosby, right? He's doing this by his own merit, we should say. So there is the looming specter, you know, what happens when Malkin coming back looks like in short order here. As of right now, Rodriguez is on the top power play, but that could very well change. He could be the odd man out there. Brian Rust probably has more seniority. So I don't see him unseating Rust or Gensel, really. So he's probably going to come off that top power play unit, which does cap his upside. But if you can kind of, this might be a sneaky kind of buy window, right? If someone's trying to offload Rodriguez because they think he's just going to fade into nothing, he could be a sneaky little buy here, because I think he's talented enough to really put up the numbers. Like, you can see on the season, average 17 minutes, 27 seconds of ice time. That might go down a little bit once he gets to, you know, second line, second power play minutes, but you'd still expect it to be at least 16 and a half minutes, I would say, given how productive he's been. So I definitely think that Rodriguez can sustain a fair chunk of this production, just given how elite all of his numbers, his advanced numbers across the board have been. So maybe a little sneaky buy window here for Rodriguez. If he can pace him out for, you know, 60 points for the rest of the season, assuming he can click with Malkin on the second line, I'm kind of about that. And he gives you that little bit of hits too, one hit per game average so far. So there's definitely stuff to like here with Rodriguez. I don't think he's just going to be washed when he seemingly inevitably gets bumped off the top power play here. And lastly, I want to wrap this up with Andrei Svechnikov, just a guy who is just breaking my heart, not through any fault of his own, but I'm going to pin this one on Rod Brind'Amour. Just play the man. 17 minutes, 12 seconds of ice time. This guy is an absolute stud. 28 games played, 10 goals, 14 assists. That's 24 points in those 28 games. Throws 44 hits in those 28 games. He's giving you tons of hits. The IPP is low at 57%, so that could be higher. 11% shooting percentage, that's not too high for sure. 11.9% on-ice shooting percentage, that's probably about where you'd expect him to be, given that Carolina is a very good team and he's on that top power play, or usually is. But honestly, this is a guy who should just be absolutely dominating fantasy hockey. He should be getting that 19 and a half minutes or more. given how talented he is. And I guess Brind'Amour has just decided that that's an Aho thing, and Aho only gets that kind of those kind of minutes. And Svechnikov just gets to toil away at the 17-minute level. But I mean, 22nd in the league in shots per 60, 10th in individual Corsi 4 per 60, 17th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60, 1st in on-ice Corsi 4 per 60, 3rd in on-ice scoring chances 4 per 60. Svechnikov, what more can I say? Guy's a stud. He's just not getting the ice time. Here's hoping for better days ahead, I guess. And that's all I've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value, helped you get just a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. I won't repeat myself on the rating and review plug, but if you are interested in receiving even more content from me, including guaranteed answers to all of your fantasy hockey questions and a weekly waiver wire article, you can check out the Apples and Genos Patreon, which I'll link up in the show description. Even if you don't do that, make sure you do find your way into the absolutely free Apples and Genos Discord community, which I'll also link in the show description. Just a great way to meet people who all have this common interest of fantasy hockey, get instant fantasy advice from hundreds of other knowledgeable fantasy managers, including myself. And that's it, folks. Much love.